Welcome to The Watchman, a great teaching about Bible prophecy and everything you need to know about the times we live in. For the coming of the Lord is sooner than you think. And now, here is The Watchman.
Father, we thank you in the name of Jesus. Bless your name, Father. We give you glory and honor. We thank you, Father, that the words of our mouth and the meditations of our heart are acceptable before you, O King of Kings. We bless your name, Father, because even so we worship you when we walk in your precepts and in your judgment and in your ways, in the name of Jesus. And we exalt your way above every other way, in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father, for even so we've learned in Christ Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory
Amen.
To God.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Glory to God. You know, as the church becomes spiritual in its operation, there's a danger. When things are operating here in the, mostly in the natural where they have been, there is very little in form of deception, because you know, people, they are, everybody seems to be a custodian of what is right and wrong doctrine. But as you go higher into the spirit, like, there is a lot of deception, and it is very easy even for people who really started out so well to enter a place of deception. But the thing is that for the most part it's voluntary. For the most part there is a bit of something that makes somebody susceptible to deception, and that is inside of them, not outside of them. I'll give you an example. Have you ever seen these people who come and con people saying there's this deal of gold and so on and stuff? And they cannot con somebody who does not have a desire for quick money. You understand? So they have to find a weakness in you for a desire for something quick which you've not earned, or, you know, which you understand. So that's what they prey on. Now, if they came to somebody like me and told me there's this deal, and what I said, I'm not interested in the deal, because it's difficult for them to put me in that line of thinking. Now, there are people who are open to that line of thinking because they walk around every day, and in their mind they are thinking there is something which I can do, and suddenly, you know, out of the blue I am propelled to a different plan. So now, that grain inside you is what makes those people who are deceived, you know, vulnerable to that kind of deception. Now, even so, in the spirit, the scripture says that, and I say this all the time, because this is the beginning of almost everything that goes wrong. It says that let nobody say that he's deceived of the Lord. But those who are deceived are first of all led away by their desire, and desire, after it has grown, gives birth to sin, and sin, after it is grown, gives birth to death. Praise the Lord. It must be in James. Now, I realize that a lot of the people, even some of them who come out of, a lot of the people who enter into spiritual deception and into things which are not, sometimes not of God, sometimes not of them, which are not theirs, okay? Let no one say when he's tempted that I'm tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone, okay? But each one is tempted when he's drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Now, that's the key thing, led away by his own desires. Now, even when somebody leaves something to which God put them, let's say God put them somewhere under, let's say, somebody, and they leave, it is always up for a desire to reach out for something bigger, maybe something foreign. You understand? So there is this, and I see that all the time. I see that all the time where people are stumbled by something which is near them. It has to be something so far that side, okay? And it's the flesh, really. Eh? It is nothing more. It's big things have to have been things which happened in the past, or which are going to happen in the future, or which are far away from you. Because when they come near, then they become easy to despise, whatever it is. Now, even the biggest things, they somehow become easy to despise. So I was listening to a man of God who was saying that he was watching a movie of Jesus, and then in this movie, Jesus is coming out from the mountain of transfiguration, from, you know, that glory. Then he's coming down the hill, then he puts his backside on the, you know, on the ground, when he's going down the hill, and then slides, phew, on his backside, and then goes down the hill. Then this man is like, these guys, how can they portray Jesus like that? And then he said, this is a man of God. He said, the Lord told him that, how do you think I came down? You see, because it's easier for us to believe because he was back then. But what if you were there with him at the time and you saw him going to the toilet, you saw him going 3 days without bathing? Then he says, I'm the Son of God. How you know, so you think you would have believed more then, but it's easier to believe now. Because now you've dressed him with all these things. So you're saying, how do you think I came down from the hill? You think I flew or I did something special? No. He was a human being. Okay? So the movie did not misportray him. Because everything about him except him was human. Okay? He took on this human thing. So now when Samuel, no, Jesus and what? So he's somehow now glorified in. Of course he is glorified now. Presence and what? But then you say, man, I wish I was, you know, somehow in the days of Peter. No, actually, you are better off than Peter. Because it is, somebody says, you know, because Peter was seeing the real man with his, you know, his life riding down from a hill on his backside and so on. And, you know, actually, I'd never thought of it that way. And it just amazed me that you can be next to somebody, something. Now, usually people are enticed and led away because they are always in the lookout for something that is not within their grasp. And then it is a clear, very, very easy way to go into deception. Now, I'll tell you that, of course, there has to be a bit of a desire. That was some man of God who is now a man of God and was previously a man of God. Okay, you know, but in between, now this is what I'm going to tell you. So the story is just katani kavutani. So somewhere in the middle, somewhere along the middle, he went and he got a bit. Somebody kind of came and enticed him. You know, you can do all these things and go to a certain place, and they anoint you in a certain way, and certain things happen. Yeah, and so on. He knew, of course, it was not right. Now that's why the thing, you're enticed by your own what? Desires. Now the point is, so he's thinking, here am I struggling and what, you know, and somehow everything can be okay. And of course, there will be a pointer to all those people who have done those things. And man, their things seem to be, you know, very good. Okay? Because you don't know what's in their heart. So they seem to be happy and enjoying life. Eh? There is nobody who is in the kingdom of darkness, eh? Especially in the spirit. In the flesh, it's different. Those who are in the flesh, they can enjoy life because they are living in the flesh. You understand? Eh? So for them, enjoying is flesh. But there is nobody, the devil is the ultimate sadist. Like, so, the guy goes there. So you would go there, and now there are these other men of God. They stand there, then the spirits come and start giving them instructions. Do this, do this, this is what you are going to do. Now they give them, they would give them different, what you want. So somebody would say, man, me I want church growth. Another one says, me I want prosperity. Another one says, me I want prophecy. I want what? So this guy said, you know, he went there. He's actually relating the story himself. It's there on, you know. On. So he goes there, and so they tell him, now decide what you want. So he decides that he wants, I think, prophetic and church, something like that. So they anoint him somehow. Now, then they tell him, now you're going to enter in a different way. Don't just enter. Wait for the signal to come, and you'll see the signal in the spirit. Then you enter. So now the guy comes to the church, and now he's waiting. Now then he sees, now this is I want to, this is previously, just a short while ago, he was a man of God. Now he comes, and so he stands at the side until now he sees demons coming and now taking charge, and like, you know, like these people welcome, now he's seeing spirit beings like welcoming him. Then now he jumps out, man. So now he, you know, comes and preaches fire. Then he starts telling the guys, man, can I prophesy? Then the guys, whatever. You've never prophesied. Can I prophesy? Then he says, can I prophesy? Then he says, yeah, okay, prophesy. So now the guy starts unleashing. Yeah? So he pulls out people, starts prophesying. Then now he says, now the power of God is going to hit you. Now, meanwhile, for him, he's seeing what's happening. Yeah? And there are these demons all over. So he says, now the power of God is going to hit you. Eh? Are you ready? Are you ready? Receive. Then the demons come and tumble people over. Eh? Then guys fall down, man. Eh? Now the next time the church was full like this, there were people on the other side and what? And all that. Anyhow, to cut a long story short, he got to a certain stage when he realized that everything that was deception. So he came back and actually told the story himself of how he had to go straight back. And now when you, he even went to jail and what, in trying to coming back, he was hammered completely and had to start from scratch completely in order to come back into this kingdom. But then the thing is this, what I realized is that, man, I wish there is a lot of deception and occult among people who profess to be men of God. It's alarming. It's extremely alarming, by the way. Extremely alarming. And some people whom you previously believed that there is, then you start wondering, but really, how come this and this and this do not seem to add up? And how come they are mixing spirits with people whom you know are fake? You understand? And then you say, how is it possible? How can light, you know? And then these are not people who can be deceived. These are people who know the spirit. So they will know what kind of spirit somebody carries. So I'll give you an example. There was a time on... Now, you don't have to be even very... This is way back. Now, there was this man who was... You know, the guy who does his things at Nachivubo, eh? Who used to do his things at Nachivubo, eh? Now, the thing is... So they would... You know what? Jesus... Then, man, you'd even have a poster. Jesus has come into town, eh? Then he passes with his big Bible like this, eh? Man, a big Bible. Now, one day I was at Kampala Road around... You know that place, Fido Dido and what, eh? Now, the guy was passing, coming from the other side, where his church is. You know the guy I'm talking about, eh? And was passing right there. Now, I was crossing the road going towards where Watoto Church is. And now, I was there, then the motorcade. He had, you know, police motorbikes and so on. So, I had to stop because of the motorcade. So, I stood there, and the guy passed. And, man, I felt a wave of evil. Man, like, there is no way you can be... Like, you can't deceive yourself unless you want... to deceive yourself. There is no way anybody who has the spirit of God can be deceived. That, like, it was so clear, I almost felt like I was choking. You understand? Eh? Like a wind hits you, then you almost feel like you know, like you're almost choking. Then the guy passed. Then I was seeing him with this big Bible like this, a sword Bible. Eh? Then, man, Jesus has come into what? Then I said, bad. And now, then, you find people who are supposed to be serious, and then they are going there now, so and so. Then you say, but where is the beginning and end of this? And at what point do they cross a line? And do they really know what they are doing? And the thing is this, it starts with a desire for something in this life which is greater than the promise we have in Christ. You know that song, "Nothing compares to the promise I have in you." Now, when you really believe that Jesus promised me something, there is nothing this world can give me that is comparable to what the promise of Jesus. Like, you cannot be deceived. It starts with you being led away by your own desires. There is something you want, fame, fortune, you know, recognition and all that, more than you want Christ. And you want acceptance among a certain caliber of people, more than you want what? Christ. So then you see men of God who, some of them have not even known what the spirit is. And then you see, you know, see, there was a Puff Daddy, eh? In the church of what? Some very powerful guy, who is a very good orator. And then Puff Daddy is saying, "Amen." So the guy pulls out a point and Puff Daddy says, "Amen." But now that guy went and did what? One day and invited Oprah to his church. And now... he's not spiritual. He's a good preacher, you know, you understand? But not spiritual, like zero understanding of the spirit. Now, Oprah is a very, very, very spiritual person. There is no way she steps on your pulpit and you're that guy and you remain the same. After that, the next thing, the guy is in a talk show host and so on and blah, blah, blah. And now there's this whole move of celebrities going into church and church people were rolling out the red carpet for them. You understand? For the most part, it's fake. But I don't know if... Maybe some of them are real. It's a possibility some of them are actually really converted. Because I've had that Kanye West guy. And I've been listening to him. And I'm looking for something wrong. I've not yet seen it, to be honest. But I can't say for sure. But you know, I heard him. And then I was listening. And the man makes sense. You understand? Eh? So I was talking to some guy. I said, "Do you think this guy is real?" He said, "The truth is, it is very difficult for somebody who has been deep in the spirit, the other side, to come and start professing Christ. You know what? All of them say God. None of them say Jesus Christ, for the most part. Because God can be anything. But they avoid the name Jesus, because that name in the underworld is... you can say God even when the devil is there. There is no problem. But you dare say Jesus. Now, so can somebody who has been deep in the spirit, as of course he has, that guy has been, come here and be saying the name Jesus? So, I don't know. After all, even... anyway, the point is this. We are, you know, but for me, I'm not so easily swayed by those things, because you roll out the red carpet. Now, if somebody like that came, I'll tell them, first go to our discipleship school. Like, you really, really treat them like a new convert. You understand? Now, here, you don't know anything. Here, because you roll out, and what if he turns around the next day and he's fake? As he's capable of being, anyway. But the point is, drawn away by his own what? Desires. And the point at which there is a desire lingering inside you that is bigger than the desire for God is the point in which you start to move on slippery ground. Because then you're like those people whom they call. You've won, you know, I'm calling over from MTN. Why, you've won what and what? And the guy is a number, it's calling over 078, what, a number which was registered reset. And it's good. And somehow people be fall for those things. Otherwise, they wouldn't be calling. Yeah? So you say, how really? So there is something inside there that makes people whatever. Anyhow, Matthew chapter 12, verse 35 says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good things. And an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. A good man out of the treasure of his heart brings forth good things. Now, notice the word treasure, eh? The good treasure in his heart, and he brings forth good things. So, the treasure in the heart brings forth good things after that treasure in the heart. Okay? And then he says, and an evil man likewise brings forth evil things. Now, even if the evil man seems to bring forth things which seem to be good, somehow, if he's evil, the only thing that can come out of him is what? Now, if he's a good man, the only thing that can come out of him is what? It might not seem apparent. It might seem like it is wrong, but it is good. Because an evil man is incapable of producing good things, and a good man is incapable of producing what? Evil things. Now, then he goes on to say in the next scripture that, but I said to you that for now, this is a connection to the previous one. Okay? There is no way you can start a whole paragraph with but. So, this is a continuation of what he's saying here. But I said to you that for every idle word men speak, they will give account of it in the day of judgment. Now, what's an idle word? Let's first start from there. Now, he did not say every bad word, because of course, we know what bad words are. Or maybe we don't, but you understand. But he said an idle word. You give account for it on the day of judgment. Now, the key thing is that an idle word is every word that is spoken against what you know to be the revelation of God for the moment. You understand? Okay, I will even take it further. And the day of judgment is not that day. There is judgment every day. You understand? Every day is the day of judgment. Okay? And the judgment of God is before, not even God, even the judgment of men is before you every day. I'll give you an example. If the word for the season is talking about abundance and about great harvest and about things like that, every word that does not line up with that is idle. And now, at the end of a certain period, people will say, where is your abundance? That's judgment day. So this year started with you telling us that harvest, where is your harvest? Judgment day. Eh? So the day of judgment is when you have to manifest the things that you have been professing to be true. The manifestation of them. Because you see, I've told people that when I want to know what somebody knows, I don't listen to what they say. I see their life. Because somebody's life is a manifestation of what they know. Now, What they say can be a manifestation of what they purport to know, what they claim to know, but what they don't know. But then, if somebody really knows about abundance, okay, let me give you 3 months and then there will be judgment day. So 3 months, where is the abundance? You're still broke, judgment day. That means there is a word you said which messed up your thing. So now you have to account for it on the day of what? Of judgment. Because you think, you say, you get something, you think it, you believe it, you what? Then at a time when you do a certain time T, then you say something which is totally contrary, which is idle, which does not line up. Then now, on the day of judgment, you have to give account to it. Okay? So sometimes people say now, okay, December, you started the year saying, harvest. Show us. Where is it? The day of judgment. Praise the Lord. Now you see, of course, people see the day of judgment as the futuristic day and so on. It actually is not so much that day, because judgment happens every day in our lives. Where people judge you, you claim to have a revelation of this thing. Show us, where is it? Okay? How come this happened like this and like this? Praise the Lord. So, remember the conference here, when it was beginning to what? To rain. And I called Athanasius and he said, where are you? Go and do your thing. Now, you claim to be a rain remover. Judgment day. So now the rain is coming. We want to have lunch. You understand? Eh? So if you are really in possession of that revelation you claim to have, then a day of judgment comes where, tell us, you have been professing ABC. Where are the results? And now this is what people don't know. And they do not understand that the biggest upsetting thing about this judgment day is actually the things people say, more than anything else. And because they don't understand that the world which we see was made by a word of God, okay? And that word and that same God gave his very nature to us. So the word we speak, every word that comes out of you that is idle and is like you're trying to believe this, you're trying to do this and do that, and somebody comes, you know, and somebody says, and somebody gets you to a conversation, then you end up actually confessing something which you know is contrary to what? To what you. Now you see, sometimes you're saying what you're seeing, which is like the biggest temptation. Okay? So you're seeing something, so you're saying it. Okay? Now, but you see, if you are to be the father of faith like Abraham, the scripture says that Romans 4:17, it says that I have made you a father of many nations in the presence of him whom he believed, God, who gives life to the dead and calls things which do not exist as though they exist. Who, contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became now. It says, who did not look upon the deadness of his body. It says somewhere there. Abraham, who did not look upon the deadness of his body. Now, that's not what you do. Because you confess something, and then, not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body, which was already dead. So you confess something, and you give allowance to considering the situation that is. So you say, okay, harvest, but man, yeah, okay, I'm 3 months in arrears of rent and so on and what, so I think things are a bit tight. Now, you've considered your own body, which is dead. Now, the scripture says, he did not consider his own body. Imagine the body is dead, you know it is dead, and you are with it, but you refuse to even think about it. And you just say, God said I'm going to be a father of many nations, and I will take that. Now, that's why God says he's the father of faith, because he waits for the body to die. Then Abraham knows very well there is no natural means by which he can get it, but he does not consider it at all. Now, the reason people say things which are idle is because they give allowance to consider, you know, their situation at hand, and which is real, which is before you. But can the word of God be more real? And you refuse to consider any other thing and stick to that thing. And then even when you're tempted to even think about it, like, it is so powerless, generally, until it is actually put into words. You understand? So, it is so powerful when you have been thinking about it and then you say it in words. Now, that's why it says that idle words. Of course, they are idle thoughts. But it's the words that actually you have to give account to, not the thoughts. Because if you think about something and you don't say it, somehow it will die, isn't it? But once you say it, you've given it life. Because that's how God gave life to the earth. That's how God did everything, by saying it. I'm sure he had thought about the kind of world he wants. But it's only when he said it that it came to pass. Now, you think of these so many things, but until you actually put words to it. So you think one thing, then when you're tempted to, you say, no, but I am blessed beyond measure. The spirit of wealth is on me. So you speak one thing, you believe it, and speak it. You speak it even before you believe it. You understand? 2 Corinthians chapter 4:13, it says, and since we have the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believed, therefore I spoke. We also believe, and therefore we do what? Now, the key thing is, speak, speak, speak. Now, it doesn't matter whether you actually believe it. Most important is that you speak it. You understand? So if you woke up in the morning and said, I am blessed, today is a wonderful day, I'm blessed, even if your heart is telling you something different, okay? Your word is more powerful than what? Actually, your heart will align with your mouth. And yet it is so easy to speak. Now, imagine you don't have faith, but you say, I believe that, you know, I am blessed, I'm this, I'm all these things. So you confess and give life to what it is you want to believe. And then use that same principle. Now say it, until eventually it has no choice but to manifest. Praise the Lord. So then, still you'll have to give account for every good word on the day of what? Judgment. So they say, you're blessed, abundance. So you wake up every morning, say abundance. Then the day of judgment comes and someone says, where is abundance? You say, don't you see? This is my what? This is my account. So you have calling me to give account, here it is. Because I spoke something. I spoke. Now, and you see, you can't say this enough, because there is a way the world, in even the worldliness and secularism, all moves after affecting the way people speak and people's languages and what they, you know, of course, a lot of how they think, but also how they what? How they speak. And so it is so difficult for somebody to stand up and say, you know, I'm rich, I'm what, I'm all these things. And after saying it, eventually, when you're not yet it, eventually you actually start looking out and looking up to people who are rich, rather than getting angry because people are rich. Then eventually you start belonging in their category. Then eventually you actually start manifesting that. Eventually you're actually giving account for the things that you said. Okay? Now James chapter 3 verse 2 says that, for we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole what? The whole body. Now, we stumble in many things, don't we? But if you don't say the wrong things, you're perfect. Now imagine how powerful that scripture is. So you stumble. I stumbled here, I did what. But then, you jump up and say the right thing. Okay? So you stumble somewhere. Then you jump up and say, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Now you've erased everything. You're perfect. You understand? Okay. That might sound hard paper for some of you, but I'm not the one who wrote these things. I'm not the one who wrote what? These things. So, because you've said the right thing, and you've aligned with what the scripture says about you, the scripture says, and by speaking it out, it says here that you're perfect. Now, if anybody does not stumble it out, now, then somebody comes and says, man, I'm having a weakness, I'm what, things are tight, what? Stumbled in the tongue. Then another one who has all the above weaknesses and some more, comes and says, I am the what? Righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That guy is perfect. You show it to us in Amplified Classic. For we all often stumble and fall and offend in many things. Stumble and fall. Okay? Because sometimes people stumble but they don't what? Fall. Stumbling is like tripping. But many times people stumble and also what? Okay. And if anyone does not offend in speech, never says the wrong things, he is fully developed character and a perfect man. A perfect what? Able to control his whole body and to curb his entire nature. Yeah, but yesterday he did this, but he said the right thing. So he's a perfect what? Okay, but this Bible sometimes is interesting. But the key thing is, there is a laxity in people understanding how powerful it is to wake up and just say the things you want to see. Just say them, especially in the morning when you're fresh. Just speak the word you want to see. That's what God did. He wanted the world in a certain way, and he said, let there be light. And there was what? Yes. So you wake up in the morning and say, favor cometh. He says, money cometh. You understand? Eh? Eh, so you speak the word you want to be. Now you're being like God. That is godliness. So God spoke, and he said, afterwards he said he saw everything and it was what? Perfect. After he had said, he looked at everything he had spoken and said, now it is good. Now also you say, since I have the same spirit of God, I speak something, I use my tongue not to say what is my situation right now. Anybody can see it, okay? I use my tongue to say what I want to see. The Bible says the world was void and without form. So God did not say, the world is void and without form. Is that what he said? Yeah. He said that there. Okay. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep. So God said, man, this world has darkness. Look at the darkness. No, that's not what he wanted. So he used his tongue to say what he wanted to see. Verse 2 says, and then the Lord did what? Then God said, let there be light. And there was light. Then he says, yeah, this is what I wanted. Praise the Lord. Eh? Then Kableta said, let there be abundance. Then he said, this is good. Praise the Lord. Eh? Yeah, but then you said, let there be abundance. And somehow something in you is saying, but no. Like you've been walking these streets. Hmm? And you'll be lucky to get even lunch money. But don't speak about the darkness. Speak about the light you want to see. Let there be abundance. Okay? Let there be. And you make it a point to say it. Now also, to believe that you actually deserve to have it. Praise the Lord. I remember some time ago when I was trying to lift up my financial state and all that, and, you know, from a very dire place. And then the key thing that the Lord revealed to me is, do you really think you deserve those things? Do you really think you deserve them? Which is the first place to be, where you think, I deserve the best things in life because I'm a child of God. That's why the devil uses a lot of sin and what, because that makes people feel undeserving. You understand? When the devil starts pointing out your weaknesses, suddenly you feel undeserving. And then I remember one time somebody was telling me, some guy came and, you know, you're telling me, the brother came, nothing is working out. They chased him from the house. They did what? Then he came to me and he was saying, but what is wrong? Then I told, then the guy is telling him, he's telling me that I told him, but you see, brother, that Otambula will be. So I looked and told the brother, so God is punishing him because he's not like, walking according to a certain script. So I told him that, why doesn't God start with witch doctors? Because they are living in powerful houses. Why does he start with me who is at least trying? You understand? Okay, so I'm trying. I love God, but maybe I stumbled here and there. You understand? So why does God start hammering me? Yet there are people who are killing, you know? If he was to start hammering, wouldn't he at least start with those ones? But you see, the deception of the devil will make you think that you're so undeserving. And then somehow it is impossible for you to have a spirit of faith when you feel undeserving. Until you say, regardless of what, you know, I speak the right things. I'm the righteousness of God. Eh? Every day, all the other day. Eh? Even so, Christ gave sacrifice once and for all. You understand? Eh? That we are perfected in the house. So, I am perfect. So, I will say that. And by saying it, I make myself perfect. Because if I don't stumble in my tongue, we stumble in many things. But whosoever does not stumble in his tongue is perfect. And says there, we stumble and fall. But if you don't stumble in your tongue, you're perfect. Now, so then you remove all feelings of unworthiness. And you start feeling that the best things in this world belong to me. Because the person who created this world calls me his son and his daughter. Amen? So did he create them for the evil people? And that's what they think. That's what they believe. That's why they get angry when the man... Because they somehow believe that the things of the world belong to them. And now they have convinced the church to think likewise. So the church gets angry when a man of God says he wants to buy a jet, a private jet, and they get angry, the church, and they, you know, become very, because the devil has deceived them. That now, when you're like that, you don't have to worry about prosperity because it will not come to you. So it's not none of your problems. But if you really want to get to that place, all your meditation has got to come from a place of, I deserve the best. I'm a son of God. Like, there is nobody here of these jokers who deserves better than me. Me, a child of God, who made this earth, did he make it for them and not for me? Praise the Lord. Now, what makes me deserving? Is it my conduct? Okay, I'll give you an example. Colossians chapter 1, verse 12. It says, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Leave it there. Who has qualified us? Eh? Who has qualified us? Have we qualified ourselves? Are we perfect? Is the Father perfect? And he has said you're qualified. Now, I want to show you that these people whom he's writing about, later on in this same book, he talks about things which they had, issues which they had, immorality and all that. But he says, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you, the Father has said, you're qualified. Now, what qualifies you to be a partaker of the inheritance? Sonhood. Okay? Not conduct. If a rich man dies and they are reading the will and his sons are stupid, I cannot go and say I'm cleverer than your sons, so I deserve the inheritance. It is not based on merit. It is based on sonhood. So regardless of how clever you are or you think you are and how dense his sons are, they will take the property. Because it was never based on merit. It was based on what? Sonhood. So I can't go and say, but that guy, if we were in the same class, the guy was the last what? Shut up. You go to your father and see if he has any lands and what to give out. Here, we are giving sons and daughters, praise the Lord, not qualified people. Praise the Lord. So now when we are receiving the inheritance of God, it is not based on merit. It is based on sonhood. Merit, those are yours. Praise the Lord. Now, and you see what people, you know the parable of the, remember the prodigal son? So he goes and says and starts meditating that in my father's house there is food enough to eat and what. So he said, let me go to my father and say, Father, I've sinned against you and I do not deserve to be called a son. But let me be like one of your servants. But when he goes, the father says, no, when you're a son, you can never be a servant. And when you're a servant, you can never be a son. Like, it is, those are different things. You cannot come and tell your father that I want to be your servant. You can't be, you're his son. Amen? So the father is not listening to any of that. They want to be like one of your son. No, you cannot be a servant. You can never be, regardless of what you did. You are always going to be a what? A son. Even if you wasted all your things and what? You're a son. So I cannot treat you like a servant. Because nobody treats a son like, anyhow. So it is all based not on merit. Praise the Lord. Now then, when you understand that, then you start making yourself qualified and start seeing that there's nothing that you do not deserve and so on, you know, and all that. Then suddenly, then you start speaking it, giving it life with your words, with the words of your mouth. Sinned against heaven and before you. And I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. Now, you cannot be a hired servant. Praise the Lord. In the book of Genesis chapter 30, I think we start from verse, Genesis 30 verse 25. It says, and it came to pass when Rachel had borne Joseph, that Jacob said to Laban, send me away that I may go to my own place and to my country. Give me my wives and my children for whom I have served you, and let me go. For you know my service which I have done for you. And Laban said to him, please stay, if I have found favor in your eyes. For I have learnt by experience that the Lord has blessed me for your sake. Then he said, name your wages and I will give them to you. What is it you want? What salary do you want? But you see, Jacob knew that Laban was a cheat, because it says somewhere he had changed his wages so many times. Okay? So he said, verse 29, so Jacob said to him, you know how I have served you and how your livestock has been with me. For what you had before I came was little, and it has increased to a great amount. The Lord has blessed you since my coming. And now, when shall I also provide for my own house? Now, I want to keep it there, because there are so many people, by the way, who are still so scared of stepping out on their own. And yet, actually, they should be saying, when will I go and feed my own family? So you go and say, the Lord has blessed my company because of me. Good for you. But at what stage do I have to go and look after my own family? In other words, when do I carry my blessings and make them mine and not give them to somebody because he's giving me a salary? Okay, I'm not saying everybody. This is for everybody. But at some stage, you feel that my blessings, when do I go and make them mine? Because you see, I'll give you an example. You remember when I told you that time when I got that office which we had at Renzori Towers, and how they came and told me that since I came, they had been looking for tenants. But when I signed the agreement, suddenly the tenants came from everywhere, and now they had sold out all the offices, at least most of them. So these two ladies came to my office, two of them Kenyans, and they told me, what do you do? I told them, I do nothing illegal. You know, because I wondered why they were asking me. But you see, most people, they would say, give your company profile, then they put it on their website and what. And of course, a lot of those companies did that because they wanted to advertise themselves. So they gave me all the amenities that came with being there, and I wasn't interested in advertising myself. So I said, no, it's okay, I will pass. What about this? I will pass. Then this, I will pass. So I said, can't we even do this? I said, I will pass. Then they even forcefully actually put the name there outside, there of Watchman. But I'd also said, no, I don't want it there. Anyhow, so they came and asked me, what do you do? So I said that, I nothing. So why are you asking? She said that since you came here, the minute you signed the contract to come and occupy these offices, we have been there. I saw that they used to have promotions. We'll give a tab to anybody who brings us a client. Now, for me, they didn't give me a tab. I just brought myself, and the clients filled all the place. And now they told me themselves, I'm not security. And now the lady told, she's not born again. She actually likes drinking a lot. She told me that it has to have something to do with you. It cannot be a coincidence that the minute you sign, suddenly they are clients. Guess what? Now, yesterday, when was it? I was somewhere and I met one of the guys who was in that place. And he told me, so I told him, hey, how is the place? Of course, you know we left. So I asked him, how is the place? He said, man, they have closed us now for 4 days. Apparently, the guys there were not paying the owners of the building, then what? So they closed us now. Now most people are thinking of fleeing and what? I said, if these people had just given me the office free, they would. Because I come with a blessing and I go with it. Amen? But you know, thanks, they were good to me. So I'm going to pray for them. Because they were actually good to me. Because of that, I was supposed to pay that amount of rent for 6 months. I paid it for 2 years. They were even fearing to increase my rent, lest I take my blessing. Now, when eventually, they increased twice in, I think, the 5 years or 4 years I was there. Now, eventually, when I was leaving, I told them that we are looking for another office and I need a place to meet people. So, I want you to give me an extra 2 weeks without paying in this place, without paying. Don't add on my bill. And they were like, no problem. So, because of that, I'm going to go there and take back my blessing. So now, Laban acknowledges. By the way, it's not a joke. Because I have worked hard to get this blessing. You understand? Okay, you know, believed and what, walked in certain ways to receive this blessing. So, now, I told, at what stage do people get blessed because of me? And when do I take my blessing and I'm in charge? So he says, for what you had before I came was little. You had little tenants. And they have increased the great. The Lord has blessed you since my coming. Now, I've witnessed this clearly. Okay? And now, when shall I provide? Actually, most of the people, they told me as soon as their rent games, they are planning to go. But what I'll do, I'll go there to visit. Eh? But leave my blessing. Because they were nice to me. So, and now when shall I provide for my own house? You see? So, somebody is benefiting from your being there. But some say you have to go and say, okay, I also need to do my thing. So, go ahead, the next verse. He says, so he said, what shall I give you? And Jacob said, you shall not give me anything. If you do this thing for me, I will again feed and keep your flocks. He says, let me pass through all your flock today. Okay, you know the story. Now, he decided that he's going to do something, a deal with Laban, where his wages are not dependent on Laban's salary, but on his own blessing. Okay? Now he says, verse 33, he says, so my righteousness will answer for me in time to come, or in the day of judgment, when the subject of my wages comes before you. Everyone that is not speckled and spotted among the goats and the brown among the lambs will be considered stolen if it is with me. In other words, now, my righteousness, my own righteousness, will answer for me on the day of judgment. Okay? So he separated himself Now, then you go and say, now, I'm tired of having people blessed because of me. Now, I have to carry my own blessing and go and make it help me. Amen? What Jacob called feeding my own house. Then you know what happened, a powerful wealth transfer. But at the height of that wealth transfer was him doing serious meditative work, very, very serious meditative work about the kind of animals. He says, I had a dream, and in the dream, there were so many speckled lambs, speckled animals and brown lambs jumping in the fields. That's why he said, now, imagine that he saw them in the spirit, in a dream, he said. I saw so many speckled things. That's how he came up with that idea that let those which are speckled be mine, because he had seen it in the spirit. Now, but in the natural, there were none speckled among the. I mean, how many speckled lambs have you ever seen? Animals with specks. Like, really? So, that's why when he said this, that everyone that is speckled and spotted among the goats and brown among the lambs will be considered, sorry if it is with me, that is not speckled, okay? And not spotted among the goats. How many goats do you see which have many colors? So that's why Laban was, listen to what Laban said, verse 34. And Laban said, oh, that it were according to your word. He said, man, I've got you. You've shot yourself in the foot. Because this guy was seeing something in the spirit. He had seen something in the spirit. Laban was seeing the natural. Then I'm sure he was looking at the herds, and there were just probably one or two which were like that. So he says, that's what you've said? Very good. Let it be according to your word. But then you know what eventually tumbled. Because there's something that, you see, until we understand that there has to be a day of judgment. We cannot keep on saying things and not manifesting them. Praise the Lord. And we cannot keep on saying one thing and saying another thing, which undoes what we've said before. If it is blessing, let it be blessing all the time. And if it means not considering your own dead body, I mean not dead body, but body which is dead, like Abraham, don't consider it. There has to be a point of, I am speaking this, I am believing this, I'm moving in this direction, and I am, there is going to be a day of judgment, every day. There's a day of, Psalm 75 verse 7 says, 75 verse 7 says, but God is the judge. He puts down one and exalts another. Okay? All the time. Okay. God is a judge. He puts down one. So I just showed that, show it's not talking about that judgment day, because the judgment is every day. You understand? So, Psalms 119, verse 162. Psalms 119, verse 162 says, I rejoice at your word as one who finds great what? Treasure. Now, worship. By the word worship, actually, the words which are translated as worship in the Bible come from two different words. One of them is what, where they get the Luganda one, kusinza. That is exalting somebody above you, like akusinga, kusinza, making him higher than you. You understand? But the other one actually is one which means, the Greek one is a word called monologia, which means mono. You know what mono means? One, and then logia is where we get the word logic. Okay, that means you worship God by having the same mind as Him, the same thinking as Him, agreeing with what He says about you. That is actually worship. When you agree with everything He says about you, you agree with it by saying it as well. Then you say it. He says that you're blessed, you say you're blessed. He says you're this, you keep on saying everything He says about you and repeating it and agreeing with Him. And now that is pure worship. Now, at some stage then you are in line with Him. And then you do not grieve the Spirit. Okay? Because it says actually in Psalms, Ephesians chapter 4 verse 29, let no corrupt word. What's a corrupt word? The words of those people who are walking. No. but man, this country is full of you. You know, when I looked at that, I said, thank God for the sense of humor. Because if you don't laugh, you just cry. But I saw that thing and just laughed. Because what else can you do, apart from laugh? So somehow we hide so many things in the sense of humor. But then we look at, so let no corrupt word proceed out of your what? Of your mouth. But what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Give this to us in Amplified. Let no foul or polluting language, or evil word, or unwholesome, or worthless talk, come out of your mouth, but only such speech as is good and beneficial to the spiritual progress of others, of the hearers, including yourself, as is fitting to the need and the occasion. A word that is corrupt is one that is not fitting for the occasion. Now we know that there is an urgency of God for real prosperity right now, because it is the time for the fulfillment of actually that prophecy of the church coming on top in preparation for the what? For the return of the Lord. It is now, there is an urgency in the spirit for that. Now that is what fits the occasion. Now if somebody comes and speaks or gives a message or speaks something that is contrary to what the occasion is, that is a corrupt word, okay? Or a word that, when God is lifting up the church, a word that puts people down, that is a corrupt word, okay? When there is the spirit of wealth, of liberty, and what, then somebody comes and tries to bring people in bondage, that's corrupt, okay? Now, that it's not beneficial to the spiritual progress of others, and is not fitting to the need and to the occasion of what God is doing now. And you see that there is an urgency. You can sense it is an urgency in the spirit. By the way, on 20th of December, 2 weeks from now, we're having a special service. And now we are going to be doing a lot of healing, which I have not been doing, in spite of the fact that the Lord has told me a number of times that I have ignored that healing gift. And yet every time I just step out, it happens automatically. You've seen it. But sometimes I think, but not just that, but also we are going to, especially people who, there's a special word I want to give to all the hearers of Watchman, even those who do not necessarily come here, because there are so many people who listen to radio and what. So I want us to, that special service is going to be something where God gives us something special for those who, for next year, in regard to this getting on the mountain of financial dominion, okay? And so I'm even going away to sharpen that word to see what the Lord is saying about that. So if you have any way, when we start putting up the posters, please share them as much as possible and make sure that all the people come. But also, we have released that time a spirit of zero debt, okay? Because that is going to be the foundation for the new prosperity. So anybody who is in debt, believe God that next year, at some stage, depending on how big your debt is, mortgage, what, whatever, next year, you are going to bring it to zero, completely to zero. Some people, it will be as soon as January, others it will be as March, others might even take, but I don't want anybody who is under my hearing to be in debt by the end of next year. If it is small debts of what, that one should even be cleared by January. But what I'm going to do is I'm going to release a word, because the Lord has been putting this on me. I spoke about it at the Watchman conference, and I spoke about it on radio thereafter, and now the Lord is telling me that now not just speak about it, but to release something to get people out of debt. So if you know anybody who is in debt and needs this thing to be released, make sure they come on that day. You see, they think you can do it on radio, but you cannot release a corporate anointing on radio. Radio, you just get the words, but there is you can't get everything on radio that you would get by in attendance. So that will be a special day for them, those who are not, who are lazy and want to come, for them to come and release that thing on them, so that we lay a foundation of zero debt, and we start from there into dominion. You cannot be in dominion when you're in debt, okay? Because a borrower is a servant of the lender. Yeah, and remember, the scripture says, you shall lend. Eh? You shall what? Eh. So now I want us next year people to start lending. Eh? Because that's dominion. Somebody who has your money is in what? You have dominion over them. Even when you pass somewhere, they are shaking. Eh? That is dominion. Because that's why the scripture, it does not say don't borrow. It says you shall lend, but don't borrow. But it's okay, you lend. Eh? Eh, so we have to get to that place. And now that is the urges of the spirit. So now, okay, praise the Lord. So make sure that also there is going to be a bit of because there are still so many people we encounter with spiritual issues, eh? Things attacking them at night and all that, and you know, witchcraft issues. So we also have to get them to a place of freedom, eh? From all that. Praise the Lord. Freedom from all of that. Of course, I encounter that sometimes a lot when I go to country churches where people have put the devil on a pedestal somewhere where he's battling with God. God is in serious war with the devil. And I don't know how the devil sold that lie to the church. Praise the Lord. So even when you tell somebody, okay, you're delivered, it's not going to happen again, they look at you. Then some pastor told me that they came and gave testimonies that I used to do what then it has never happened again, never. Because they expect you to say, okay, now, if you are going to spiritual warfare, if you are going for spiritual warfare, make sure you are not walking in any sin. Then first confess all your sins. but people have given the devil power. So it's going to be healing deliverance, but financial deliverance. Mostly financial deliverance. Praise the Lord. Let no foul or polluting language. Okay, I was saying a spiritual progress for others as is fitting and to the need of the time and the occasion. Okay? That it may be a blessing and give grace, God's favor, to those who hear it. So a corrupt word is a word that does not bless the people who are hearing it. So you speak a word of defeat when people are confessing victory. Then you come and you speak a word of defeat, and that is corrupt because you are going against what God is saying. Praise the Lord. Now, when you speak what is fitting, now that is a word in season, perfect word in season. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So now, I do not want us to be among those who do not understand how important it is for us to, you know, Mark 11:23, what does it say? It says, for assuredly I say to you, whosoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things he says, he will have whatever he what? Now this is the ultimate verse of faith, the ultimate faith verse. But it, one time Kenneth Hagin said that the Lord told him, do you notice that the word believe is there, said there just once, and the word says is said three times? It's all about faith. But he says, whosoever says, okay, if we remove what Jesus said, because also Jesus said, for sure I say to you, so we remove that one. Whosoever says to this mountain, number one, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have what he says. Says. Okay? So he will have what he says. Even if you stop there, he will have what he what? Says. So the mountain of debt. So no more debt. So mountain of debt. I believe this is cast into the sea. No more debt. So he will have what he what? Says. And that's it. He will have what he says. Now the thing is, either people say the wrong things or they don't say the right things often enough. Now when you say it over and over and over and over again, you're creating it piece by piece by piece by piece. Now somebody says, how come you say it for 1 month and you don't see anything happening? Do you know how many years you've been saying negative things? You have a big debt. Praise the Lord. If your account is indebted to 100 million and you say, how come I have put 10 million and I'm still in debt? Just continue putting. Because every time you say, man, things are tight. So you don't even remember those times because it seemed so natural for you to say that. But now, when you start saying the positive things, you want it to happen instantly. No, just continue saying. What does it cost you? Is there any tax on words? Even these guys, shameless as they are, cannot put tax on words. Although they are going to actually start putting it on Senene. Did you see that? Taxing in Senene. But man, insane. I was seeing people catching insane. Like, you know those things they put there for the insane and food? They affect the eyes and skin. So you see somebody, his skin is messed up, his eyes are all red as if he's been drinking waraji the whole day. And man is just going to get a few insane and sell them for survival. As I say, we are going to tax this. 18%. So we count 100 in senenes. Then we take off what? 18. VAT. Hallelujah. But thank God this thing is ending. Man. Because the darkness, and by the way, it is ending. And there is nothing they can do to prolong it. Absolutely nothing. But the darkness that was coming, man, Anyway, let me not get into that. We are in the Word. Because, you know, because you see everywhere we go, idle people, very idle people, like and people without any sort of vision, like real scum of the earth, so-called intelligence people, but who are not intelligent. You know the word oxymoron? Somebody who is intelligent but is not intelligent. Anyway. Okay. But assuredly I said to you, this system is going to fall. Okay. Assuredly I said to you, whosoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt. Eh? So you know what to say. Amen. Also me, I'm saying it. And I don't doubt. And I will have whatever I want. Look, listen, you imagine now, Jesus said this. Imagine if you're saying, what assuredly I say to you, you will have whatever you say. Would you take that lightly? Assuredly I say to you, you will have whatever you say. You will have whatever you say. Just say it. Say it, say it. You'll have it. That's what the Lord said. Praise the Lord. Okay, enough for today. Now I want to leave you an assignment, everybody. I want you to go and visualize what you want to see next year. Okay? Visualize it. Put it in pictures. Speak about it. Really eat it. You know? You understand? Eh? Everything. It figures, places, everything. Be as specific as you can. And then believe God that that is going to be your thing. Eh? Where you want to see yourself by this time, December 2020, where do you want to see yourself? Now draw that picture in your heart and meditate on it and believe God for it. Amen? And believe God for it. And then also on 20th, I want you to bring a special seed. I've told you this before, for 2020. So I want you, because it's 2 weeks, I'm giving you 2 weeks to go and visualize what it is you want. Absolutely, you know, in clear picture. Where do you see yourself in regard to what God has called you to do in 2020? And then come and sow a seed towards it. Eh? And then believe God for it to see it materialize. Do not think too small. Eh? Try to first expand your soul. Do something to expand your soul. Maybe first go and enjoy a cappuccino somewhere to expand you, make yourself happy. Eh? Because you know when you're in a depressed state, and start dreaming small things. Eh? And like, we're talking about 12 months. Eh? What God can do in 12 months, praise the Lord. So go and draw a clear picture, 12 months from now. The reason years come and go and people are still the same is because they don't have a clear picture of what it is they are supposed to be by the end of. Amen? Now, when you put that picture in yourself, in these 2 weeks, and then you come on 20th with that in mind, and then we see it, then you carry it and let it be the thing rumbling in your mind from then throughout the start of the year. Every time you pray, this is what I'm going to be. It can be something spiritual, it can be something financial. I hope it is something, at least among other things, it has to be something of abundance, of dominion, what area you're going to be dominating, something like that. So 2 weeks from now, don't come here with an empty head. Come here with a head full of what you want to see yourself at this stage of the year, 12 months from now. Amen? Hallelujah. 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 Judgment for now. Judgment begins in the house of God. So those who are in here and are in debt, you should be the first one to stand up and we first unleash for you before we call others from outside. Amen? Because charity begins where? So if you're in debt, stand up. Let's start there. Timothy, first come. I'm seeing something because Where did you get in debt? Okay, first way to tell. It did not have something to do with you. Eh? It had something to do with somebody close to you. Eh?
That's right.
You know whom I'm talking about. Eh?
Yes.
She's the one who... True?
True.
Okay. And there's, of course, there's been a separation of, you know, what you believe and, you know, there's a clash in all this. So, but now that conflict, the Lord is sorting it and is dealing with it once and for all.
Amen.
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 And because she's going to see something which will show her and show her conclusively that all along you knew what you were doing.
Amen.
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 And she'll be a beneficiary of it. And so shall she know that, you know, okay, I was wrong here and so on. But now the Lord does something for you, which is that's what, man. Are you trying to do some kind of transaction with a bank or something? Because I'm seeing. Huh?
Yes.
You are, eh?
Yes.
And it is for quite an amount of money.
Big.
A big money?
Yes.
Okay. Okay, I'm seeing the figure, but I don't want to say it here. Unless people come and start asking you to lend them money. But it is going to manifest in the bigness that you've expected it. The way you've expected it. Now there is not going to be any obstacle. It is sorted. Now I sort it in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus, Father, I clear the path for it to happen.
Amen.
And it is going to be sorted in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And it shall sort all these bad decisions which were made by, you know, that person. And you will come out of that and you stand strong. And in the name of Jesus. And then he's even saying now that it will be a beginning of similar ones of that kind that will now, after this one has come and, you know, you're whatever, as if jubilating and still in that abundance, then another similar one comes and a similar one. I don't know of what nature it is. I just see that you're trying to, you know, but in the name of Jesus, I clear the path for it.
Amen.
And I decree that it is sorted.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus, it is sealed. It is done. And these hands will hold that money in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. In the name of Jesus, Father, I thank you. In the name of Jesus, I thank you because you release an abundance that causes each and every person here who is in debt to come out of it. In the name of Jesus, I just want you to agree with me. In Jesus' name, Father, I release an abundance that sets everyone free here from debt. In the name of Jesus, I thank you, Father, because there is a breeze that cancels debt flowing from the presence of God. Thank you, Heavenly Father, because it affects each and every person here. And they will say, to the tune that we are indebted, we were indebted in so short a period, now we have that over and above after we paid the debt.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus. Now, that's what you will say. You will say, I was indebted to a tune of 60 million, but now I paid it. Now I seem to have 60 million on the account, which has, you know, no expense waiting for it, which is mine. Praise the Lord. Amen. Harekura sikarabashoro mozotoro sharemezitoro siremesikala sitoro mosha. Roko marazantalabashokro mozotoro shikerabazantoro si. Rabasatelevishokro mozotoro sharemazitoro sharemazita. Sideke marazantelevishokro mozotoro sharemazan. School fees debts in the name of Jesus are cancelled. In Jesus' name, risaramazotoro sharem. In the name of Jesus, I thank you, Father, because you release something special. In the name of Jesus. Roko Bazatereve Shokromozon Toro Sharamazin Torosha. Sikaramazon Toros Lebasitarva Shokromozon Torosha. Rikamazon Toro Sharamazon Toro Sharamazata. Rikamazatereve Shokromozon Toro Sharamazin. Just believe God for this powerful thing. Come. You. Where's your friend? Come. In
name of Jesus, Father, I thank you because you release. I thank you for provision, supernatural provision, that covers everything. Even to your dream.
Amen.
Now you dream. Dream and see how it is covered. For what the kind of thing you want.
Amen.
The way you want it.
Amen.
So shall the Lord provide for it.
Amen.
Supernaturally.
Amen.
Do not fear. Amen. And even when there is a temptation to say, no, we have to cut, you know, do this. You know that the Lord provides for you.
Amen.
And it will come supernaturally.
Amen.
And he will give you favor.
Amen.
A lot of favor.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
And it is all done. It is sorted.
Amen.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Okay, you may be seated. In the name of Jesus, I thank you, Father. Whosoever is indebted, this seed that they give today is a connection to their financial freedom. Financial freedom. In the name of Jesus. Financial freedom. That's what the Lord is doing in this place. In the name of Jesus. Financial freedom. Financial freedom. Financial freedom. Complete financial freedom in the name of Jesus. So that you always have an abundance for every good work. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, Amen. Okay, God bless you.
We will go for you.
That was The Watchman. Do not miss our Friday fellowship, 6 p.m. at Uma Upper Gardens, Nakawa. For previous recordings, visit our website at ugwatchman.com. You can follow us on Facebook, The Watchman. Our Twitter handle is at ugwatchman. Instagram, the_watchman256. For inquiries, please contact us via email, info@ugwatchman.com. You can as well call us on +256 780 292 555 or +256 755 292 555. The Watchman, the King is coming.